Master Show on KVOI AM 1030. It is Friday, October 18th. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who has taken his lovely bride, Anne, away for a special birthday weekend. We hope they're having a great time. The show is live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m., and we stream it live for you at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we podcast post-podcast of the program at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and at tucsonsentinel.com. There's also a link to the show on the homepage of the Green Valley News at gvnews.com. As always, we invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Our Friday Focus interview today looks at a hot issue in the community of Vail, where the ballots hit mailboxes this week asking voters if they want to incorporate. It's Proposition 403 on the ballot, and the issue has been batted around for about 3 years. I'm joined in studio by two men on either side of the incorporation debate. Kurt Cowley is a member of the Citizens for Vail Committee, which favors incorporation. Welcome, Kurt.
Thank you.
And Bob Dupuy is with the Committee of Concerned Citizens. It's a group that is encouraging a no vote on Proposition 403. Thanks for being here, Bob.
Thank you, Dan.
Kurt, this is a big step for Vail. Exactly what is incorporation and why is this a good idea?
Dan, incorporation is the process of becoming an official municipality, either a town or a city. So the objective is to make Vail a recognized town, as opposed to just an unincorporated entity. It's so important for Vail to become a town for a lot of reasons. To me, the most important of the reasons is so the local residents can govern themselves. Today, we're subject to the governance of Pima County, and so we have no representation from anybody that lives in our community.
Okay. And so right now, the first layer of government for Vail is Pima County.
Yes,
and you have,
right.
And there are five supervisors, and you have one of them, and it is
Ray Carroll.
Ray Carroll. Okay, so you guys want to control your destiny is really what it amounts to.
That's exactly right.
Okay, Bob, you don't think it's such a good idea right now. How come?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions that we have about the economic environment that would be needed in order to support a budget to keep us moving forward. For example, most of the towns of our size have, you know, substantial amounts of large retail base and produces a lot of tax income. At least on the get-go, we'll be getting 3.2 to 3.5 million from, from the Arizona Revenue Sharing Program. But we're really, really concerned that that's not going to provide enough dollars to meet all of the needs that we have. And we think it's best to wait until we get that business and retail booming in Vail so that we can better finance our whatever path forward we then decide.
And just a little bit of background, Vail has about 11,500 residents.
That is correct.
Okay. And that is Kurt, usually the first concern that's raised in these efforts is whether the community can afford to incorporate, and that often comes down to taxes. Is the tax base there to pull this off?
We believe it is. Like Bob said, we expect to receive about $3.5 million every year from the state shared revenue funds, and that is significantly more than the county's currently spending out in the area. So there's no reason that we cannot do at least as well with those revenue funds.
Okay, that's a good start. Is it enough?
You're right, that's just a start. The real opportunity opens up once we become a municipality to share in many other sources of revenue.
Okay, so there's several revenue streams then. You know, we're talking fines, fees.
Well, those are probably the smaller amounts. The larger amounts would be like participating with the RTA program and having RTA funds spent in our area.
Okay.
And, other grants and federal grants and such that we could easily dwarf that $3.5 million that we're getting from the state.
Okay, and I'm sure a question you've heard a lot over the last 3 years is, as you've put together this plan, the committee has put together this plan, will taxes go up?
There's no reason for taxes to go up.
What about a sales tax?
We suspect that there is likely to be a sales tax. That's up to the town council to decide. But we don't see that as a tax increase because people already pay that. All of Vail residents shop in in Tucson and other neighboring towns and pay that sales tax today. So that's not really an increase.
So for as an example to people, I'm in Sahuarita, which is incorporated. We have a 2% sales tax for the town. If you're in Green Valley, shopping in Green Valley, that 2% is not there. But a lot of people in Green Valley, as you say, they do shop up in Sarita, so they're paying it anyway. Bob, what do you think about taxes? You think they're going to go up? You think they can pull this off with the available revenue?
Well, and I really don't think at this point it would be easily pulled off with the available revenue. If you look at all of the incorporated towns, they all have substantial amounts of sales tax revenue supporting their budgets. The towns around our size, they're typically in the 30 to 60% of their actual budget. And that 30 to 60% in some of these towns is like in the millions of dollars. Vail currently has $13-plus million of retail business, not all of which would be subject to the 2% tax. So the amount of extra revenue coming in from that side would be minimal. I do live in Vail, and, yes, I do consider it a tax increase. I will be spending more in taxes because I do shop in Vail. When I'm out and about the area, I do try to shop in unincorporated areas. And, I guess I could say if I shopped over where the Tucson tax was 9.1%, you'd say that the 2% increase is saving me money because it's 1% less. Right. But I don't really think it's worth an argument over whether it's a tax increase or not. The question is, will it produce the amount of revenue that is needed to support the town? And from the things that we've been looking into, I think they're going to need more than the $3.2 to $3.5 million moving forward. You're going to get 3.2 to 3.5 a year coming from the Arizona Revenue Sharing Program, but you can't deny the fact that we already get a substantial amount of money invested into Vail, you know, from the county. And I'm looking at the numbers that were put out in the feasibility study. I don't agree with the totals that they say is really coming into the town.
Okay, then back to you, Kurt. Besides sale taxes, there is the question of a property tax, primary property tax. You say probably not going to happen.
I would be absolutely opposed to it.
Okay.
And I'm sure all of Vail residents are opposed to it. Our property taxes are already plenty high enough.
I think we have a point of an agreement here. I really don't expect to see that kind of a tax, but the word primary is very important there. There's also something, a secondary property tax, and that's usually which comes into play when you have a shortfall in your funds or you've got capital improvement activities that you've got to do and you haven't collected enough impact fees. And those are secondary property taxes do exist. They do apply in certain towns. And I would be more surprised if that did not happen than if it did.
And Bob, what are you looking for? Are you looking for more businesses in town before you make this choice, more rooftops? What is it that would make
you
comfortable?
They're really, really connected. Vail grew like 300% from like 2000 to 2008, then the recession hit. There was already businesses ready to come into Vail in an area called Mercado del Lago. Old Vail Station has a number of businesses there. They have at least three empty storefronts. All of the area where Mercado del Lago is, other than Walgreens, is still vacant, waiting for people to come in. I think what the businesses are doing, they're waiting for us to get more residents who have so that it'll have a larger amount of money that can be spent in those stores, because a company is going to come into Vail specifically to make a profit. They're profit entities. And unless we get to the point where we have the population to support those businesses, they won't come into town. I think the right thing to do is to wait and move forward until we have the amount of retail business that would allow us to have that 30 to 60% range of tax revenue to support the budget.
Okay, and if you're just joining us, I'm with Kurt Cowley, a member of the Citizens for Vail Committee, and Bob Dupuy, who's with the Committee of Concerned Citizens, and we're talking about incorporation in Vail, and the ballots have gone out. The election is November 5th, if you're not filling out an early ballot. And if you would like to join us in the discussion, our live line number is 790-2040. I attended, Kurt, last week a forum on this issue in Vail. Tom Belshi, who's the deputy director of the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, said at that forum that some towns offer a lot of services and residents like that. Some towns, like Paradise Valley and the Phoenix area, offer few services and some residents like that. So when it comes to services such as roads, fire, police coverage, trash collection, who decides what the town will provide and can you bear the cost of it?
Well, that's really the beauty of incorporation, is that the local people can decide instead of being subject to the decisions of the county. The new town would be obligated to provide maintenance of the existing public roads and provide public safety and provide a place of administration for the government. Whether we expand beyond that or not really comes from the demands of the citizens. And Bob talked about a secondary property tax. The thing about secondary property taxes is that they're voted on by the citizens of the community. So if a community adopts that, it's because the people wanted it. And that's really the choice that we should be allowed to have.
Okay, and so really it's a question of control here. And everybody can agree that the fire coverage, which is provided by, is it Rincon Fire District?
That's right.
Is fine. That's not an issue.
I'd say that pretty much the people across Vail are satisfied with you know, trash, all the utilities, the water company, the fire company. And I would even go so far as to say they're overall satisfied with the services provided, you know, by Pima County.
Okay.
I think the changes coming about are really minimal in terms of service delivery.
Okay, it's about 16 minutes past the hour. I'm Dan Scheer with Kurt Cowley and Bob Dupuy, and we're talking about incorporation in the community of Vail, and we are going to be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time-clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the community of Vail and Proposition 403, which would bring incorporation. We've got several callers on the line who've got some questions for my guests here. Vail had options other than incorporation, and I know during its studies it looked at several of them, and Ruth has got a question about one of them. Ruth, you're on the line?
Yes.
Go ahead.
The question is, I hear a few residents talking about their fear of being, if they don't vote incorporation, that we're going to be annexed or absorbed by Tucson, and they don't want that to happen.
Okay, Kurt, what do you think? Are you going to be swallowed up by Tucson if this doesn't go through?
Well, it's obviously not an automatic process. Tucson can't just go out and swallow up property willy-nilly. They have to get the vote of the property owners in order to annex any particular parcels that they wish to annex. The fact does exist, though, that Tucson is very interested in annexation and has invested resources recently in efforts to annex different areas.
And if it did happen, though, if Tucson did come in, they wouldn't go after the whole enchilada, probably. They'd probably go piece by piece. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is quite accurate.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, Tucson really hasn't done any annexation other than pretty much vacant land for a long, long time, and I agree with your point. It does need to have a vote of the citizens to allow annexation, and I think Kurt and I would agree on this one. We're both against annexation. We'd be on the same committee fighting that one.
Okay. The one thing that does differ with annexation, right now with incorporation, we are subject to the vote of the residents. With annexation, you'd be subject to the vote of the property owners, and so residents could be impacted negatively if they're not necessarily the majority property owners.
Okay, very good. And I'm with Kurt Cowley of Citizens for Vail Committee, which favors incorporation, and Bob Dupuy, who is opposed. He's with the Committee of Concerned Citizens. And we have Damon on the line. Damon, you there?
I am.
Go ahead.
I have actually two questions. One, in response to the video that was posted, the pro group references impact fees, RTA revenue, different sources of revenue, and they adamantly said that this is not a tax, but their fees, fines, whatever you want to call it. But later on down, they reference Green Valley and the added HOA dues that those residents pay, but they call that a tax. I want to know how that is considered a tax, but what these other sources of revenue are not considered a tax. And then with Vail being so modest with incorporation, why are they considering leasing out Old Vail Station right off the bat when there are probably more modest avenues in terms of maybe someone's vacant garage or even guest bedroom or whatever they may have to run the government until we have a solid base of revenue to operate from a different location.
Okay, very good, Damon. Thank you. Impact fees and taxes. Kurt?
No, I quite agree. Those are our taxes. Our statement all along has been that they are not tax increases because we already pay all those taxes today.
Okay.
The difference is they're going to Pima County instead of coming in to us to service ourselves.
Okay, and what about renting some space right off the bat? I know that in Sahuarita, when it was incorporated 19 years ago, that for the first 6 months it operated out of somebody's living room.
Yes, and we've always used that as an anecdotal story.
Right.
We can find inexpensive places to rent. We're not we're not required to go to the Old Vail Station.
In fact, if somebody rents that place in the next month, you'll have to go find another expensive place to rent.
And actually, if this went through in November, you would have until when before you would actually have to take the reins?
We would take the reins immediately. However, the Pima County would continue to provide services until the end of the fiscal year. So we would actually be receiving revenue from the state and building up a nest egg to work with. And during that period of time, we would be getting established.
Okay. Then on the live line, we have got Fred got a question about roads. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I'm a longtime Vail resident, and I think the county's done a fantastic job with the roads, like repaving Camino Loma Alta and straightening it out. They paved other local roads, the intersection. But my big concern is the bridge over the wash, because that wash is known to have major flooding, and if it ruins that bridge, I want to know how an incorporated Vail is going to pay for the cost to repair or replace that bridge, because that could be tens of millions of dollars.
Okay, there's not only bridges, there's also liability. I mean, you're taking on an awful lot, Kurt, by moving forward with this. What do you think about?
There are insurance programs that we're able to participate with, so we can pay for catastrophic things by virtue of making insurance premium payments each year like everybody does with their own homes.
Okay.
And I really think there's so much in the catastrophic area that potentially is not covered by this type of insurance. And you really have to have a really good nest egg. And I don't think the amount that's going to be built up from a 6 or 7 month influx of money is really going to be adequate. Many town managers I've talked to said your balance should be in the millions of dollars, not in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the question on impact fees, it's interesting. I agree that they're there now. They will be there.
I'd like to comment on that before you change the topic. The reality is that Pima County has no nest egg to handle those catastrophic issues either.
And really, Kurt, this comes down to your relationship, Vail's relationship with Pima County. You, like a lot of communities, feel like you're not getting from the county what you're paying in, and that life may be rough maybe early on, but it's going to be better if you take control. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, exactly.
Okay, so yeah. Specifically, what are you not getting from Pima County? What are they not doing for you?
It's really the underrepresentation. When they develop the property, they are not developing the infrastructure to handle the increased traffic and congestion that development creates.
Okay, very good. And Bob Dupuy, the Committee of Concerned Citizens, what do you think?
I think back of the impact fees in the last seven years, the county has invested $12.2 million in impact fees in completing 3 out of 4 major road projects in Vail. I think the caller earlier just referenced a couple of them. There's still one more to go. That right now is being funded. I understand there's a project manager being reassigned to it. So going forward, it looks like the county is more likely to complete that project as would be if the town incorporated.
Okay. Kurt, Citizens for Vail Committee, where are you getting your money? Who's financing it? Who's backing you?
This has really been a grassroots effort. We did receive a sizable donation at the beginning to kickstart the program.
From who?
From a local developer that has interest in the area.
Who's that? Don Diamond?
Yes, Don Diamond.
Okay, what's his interest?
His interest is being able to work with local governments when he needs to develop property as opposed to big bureaucracies.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, Don Diamond's property is outside of the boundaries of the would be incorporated Vail, and it's interesting that he donated $15,000 to support the pro incorporation effort while he's, with respect to himself from a business perspective, against it. It just doesn't seem right. Seems like some quid pro quo might be going on somewhere.
Okay,
I think the fact that he made the donation is indicative that he's putting his money where his mouth is, and he does support it.
Okay, Bob, real quick, Committee of Concerned Citizens, where's your money coming from?
We have about 20 people, just friends of ours. We send emails around to. We got donations $30 to $100. We've got 2 donations over $100.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Great topic, great debate going on in Vail. We'll see what the voters say on November 5th. When we return to the Buckmaster Show, we'll be holding our weekly reporters roundtable to discuss the week's headlines. We'll catch you on the other side of the news.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Same-sex couples in New Jersey will be allowed to marry starting on Monday. The state's highest court today unanimously upheld a lower court ruling that said same-sex weddings must be allowed, and that starting on Monday in New Jersey. President Obama says that former Pentagon lawyer, the lawyer he has nominated, Jay Johnson, to lead the Department of Homeland Security, is an outstanding public servant whom he's known and trusted for years. An Ohio prosecutor is pushing for the maximum sentence of 8 years for a man who confessed in an online video to a fatal wrong-way crash. On Wall Street, stocks holding on to gains as we head into the final half hour of today's trading. The Dow is up about 23 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead, 46. More details at srnnews.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
It is now time for the Friday Reporters Roundtable, where we kick around some of the headlines from the past week. I'm joined in studio by Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Welcome, Dylan.
Great to be here.
On the phone with us from Phoenix is Jim Small, editor of the Arizona Capital Times. Welcome, Jim. You there?
I am here. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Great to have you. How are things in Phoenix?
They are beautiful, actually. It's a great time of year.
Yeah, good. It is nice up there.
Are things actually cooling off a little bit up there?
Yeah.
A little bit. Not quite as nice as what you guys are getting, but it's nice to wake up in the morning and have it be in the 50s instead of the 90s. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's a difference.
Hey, you're a managing editor, Tom Spratt. I worked with him for years. Great guy. So you guys have got a good group going on up there. So.
Oh, thank you. appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you guys heard our first segment. I know Dylan did, but we were talking about the community of Vail down here in Incorporation. A little bit of trivia. Arizona has 91 incorporated towns and cities. We're sitting in the oldest, which is Tucson. But which town in Arizona was the most recent to incorporate? And it was 2010. Take a wild guess. Crickets. Ooh. I'm hearing crickets. Tucson.
Queen Creek.
Nope, Tucson, south entrance of the Grand Canyon National Park. Who would have known?
You exposed our complete and utter ignorance.
And thank you, Wikipedia. We just hope you were right this time. Okay, well, let's get on to some of the headlines from the week. The government shut down. We're back in business, at least for now. We fended off becoming delinquent on our bills. Any lessons
At least collectively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nope. Yeah, this was a...
Not speaking for myself.
I know. Come on, but who didn't think that we weren't going to strike a deal at the last moment? I mean, pretty much was going to happen. But, Jim, you think we learned anything from this?
I would like to hope so, that we, you know, our politicians kind of take some lessons from this. But a lot of times lessons like this are hard to learn. You know, it in a lot of ways almost seems like it's a little kid trying to grab a stove. You've got to burn yourself in order to learn these lessons. And in politics, the way those lessons are learned are through elections. So I think really what we don't know yet is whether having a government shut down in a debt ceiling crisis a year before an election, whether that kind of, any anger or frustration that voters feel is going to carry over and is still going to be around in 12 months when they're asked to go to the polls and decide whether the folks who were in Congress at the time this whole thing happened, whether they should be sent back there.
So if we don't do anything, this is going to happen again in 8 weeks.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
This is really just it's not even a good kick of the can. It's just kind of a glancing blow at the can, and it kind of went into the gutter rather than down the road.
Well, the interesting thing about this time and the last time, you know, what was it, 95, 96, is that you had social media now really telling these folks in Congress that we're not happy. But Jim, I think you were saying in a fancy way that the voters, unfortunately, sometimes have short memories. Will we even be talking about this a year from now when people go to the polls?
Well, not only do they have short memories, but, you know, what else is going to happen in the time between now and then? I mean, Dylan mentioned that this is going to happen again in 8 weeks, and, you know, thankfully it looks like the debt ceiling issue won't be happening again, you know, at least in the next year. But yeah, you know, if the government has to face a shutdown again, what is going to happen? The one silver lining of that is the Obamacare issue that was, at least started off at the center of this fight, it'll already be implemented by the time they have to do this budget dance again. So hopefully that gives, that means less leverage on that issue and at the very least changes the what the debate will actually be about, and it won't be about something that's necessarily already in effect.
Great. If you would like to join us on the Reporters Roundtable and have a few questions, the number is 790-2040. I'm here with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and on the phone from Phoenix, Jim Small, editor of the Arizona Capital Times. Dylan, Martha McSally, strong out of the gate in campaign fundraising.
Indeed. I can't remember the exact figure. You're looking at it. How much did she raise in that?
It says right here, a lot.
It was about $349,000.
Yeah, $349,000 during 3 months. It ended in September.
It looks like she's going to garner some backing for another strong run, and it's going to take some work by Ron Barber to hang on to his seat. He's been playing the political margins well over the past 6 months or so with some strategic votes on various issues. He's not really hanging himself out completely with the rest of the Democratic Party. It'll be hard to paint him as a liberal. I'm sure the GOP is going to try and do that.
Jim, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Ron Barber is probably at the top of the heap in terms of targeted districts for Democrats in Arizona. That was a race where everyone felt that moving from CD8 to the new CD2
right,
was going to benefit Ron Barber. The district looked more friendly to him. And yet, even in a presidential year where President Obama got reelected and won the district, he still barely skated by the skin of his teeth against Martha McSally. And so you've got to figure that there's going to be a smaller turnout in 2014 with no presidential race on the ballot, and probably a softer turnout on the Democratic side, which I think has Republicans really licking their lips. And that's exactly why you saw Martha McSally be one factor, at least, in why she was able to post such a strong number. And And she raised more money than every single congressional incumbent in our delegation right now, which is right. awfully impressive.
Right. And
when you're looking at this is going to be her third run for office, counting the two special election and the last go around, it's going to be hard for her this time to sort of play the political newcomer card and not be able to take some firm stance on issues.
But she really hasn't been out there in front of voters much because, you know, the special election was such a short period, and then you turn around and you've got the 2012. And I talked to her a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, here we are more than a year out and you're announcing your candidacy. And what about voter fatigue? Are people going to get tired of this? And she said, you know what? Compare me nationally. I'm probably late out of the gate announcing this. Jim, are people going to get tired of this? Because I already am.
they probably will. I think it depends on what kind of a profile people keep. You know, I mean, if she starts a really, aggressive campaign where she's, running ads on the radio and the TV and sending mailers and stuff like that, then, yeah, they would get tired of it. As it is, I mean, that stuff realistically probably won't start until the summertime. Maybe a little bit into the spring. So there'll certainly be fatigued from it, but probably no more so than in any other normal political cycle.
Right, and she's going to have a primary candidate, it looks like, with Ed Martin down here. So there goes some of the money right there, we can assume. On the front page today, big news. Yavapai County prosecutor tells us that State Attorney General Tom Horn and an aide illegally coordinated 2010 campaign activity, and Horn has to repay the money. Does Tom Horn have any sort of political future, Dylan?
How many hits can the man take and still come out untarnished and unwrinkled? He's taken some pretty big ones thus far, right. And still exactly. has a certain amount of support amongst the Republicans. Well, but you think I think there'll be a bit of a feeding frenzy if he tries to keep on rolling with his political career. There are plenty of other,
without a doubt,
ambitious Republicans.
Yeah, and Jim, a year ago, the FBI told us that he was involved in an extramarital affair at a time when he had a minor car accident. Does this man have any credibility left?
Believe it or not, he does. And one thing about Tom Horn is he has got nine lives, politically speaking, and he will be the favorite in that attorney general's primary, at the very least. We'll see if he gets through that into the general and what the landscape looks like there. But, he's challenging a guy. The guy who's challenging him, Mark Brnovich, is someone no one's ever heard of. He's got the challenge of trying to raise money to take on Tom Horn, who's been raising money for his campaign now for 3 years, who has a lot of his own personal money that he can kick in. And interestingly enough, even though Tom Horn's a former Democrat and has been criticized a lot in his political past for being essentially Republican in name only, he has done a masterful job of endearing himself to the far-right GOP base. And those people actually, believe it or not, love him. And it makes no sense. 5 years ago, this would have been a very weird thing. But right now, they look at the stances he's taken on illegal immigration and on fighting the Obama administration and things like that, and they feel that he's one of them. And for the time being, at least, they are firmly in his corner. And that makes it tough for any challenger to get inroads and to win the support needed to win a primary.
Well, the RINO accusations are one thing, but when we're talking about affairs and we're talking about illegally coordinating campaign activities, we're talking ethics and morals here. Is that really going to matter with voters?
Well, we are. I think those kinds of things are certainly going to come up. There's no doubt that if Brnovich gets the money to do his messaging, I mean, those will be central parts of it. They'll play a much bigger role in the general election if Tom Horn gets there. For one, because he'll be running against, most likely against a woman, Felicia Rodolini, who's going to be very well funded. And for another, because you're going to have a broader cross section of the populace who's going to be more concerned with those kinds of soft attributes as opposed to the hard ideological attributes that tend to drive turnout and support in a primary.
Okay, very good. Dylan, certainly one of the saddest stories of recent memory down here in Tucson. Tell us, and I know you've been covering it closely, tell us the story of Nowhere Man and Whiskey Girl and the lessons that perhaps we can learn from this tragedy.
Well, Nowhere Man and a Whiskey Girl were a Southern Arizona, I guess you call them a folk duo, a musical group. They, piano, acoustic guitar, and the subtle vocals of Amy Ross and her husband Derek Ross. They lived in a Bisbee, played there, pretty much every night of the week. They were playing somewhere in Bisbee. They would come up to Tucson frequently and play some of the clubs here, and really had a style of music that captured something about Southern Arizona in a very special way. And at the beginning of the week, Amy went in for heart surgery and died. And her husband, on his way home, bought a gun and shot himself, killed himself that night.
This was a soulmate type thing. I mean, he couldn't go on without her.
It certainly seems that way.
And it is a tragedy, and it's sad, but let's back up a little bit. What are some of the hard questions that have to be asked in the wake of something like this?
Yeah, well, taking it a step beyond looking at it as the Romeo and Juliet story, do we have problems with the sort of counseling that we give to the bereaved? If someone dies, even in a controlled space like a hospital where people pass away all the time, are they given the appropriate possibilities to have somebody talk it out with them? And certainly, again, is there something in the ready access to firearms that creates the an increased possibility of something like this happening?
Right, and his friend said that he said he was okay, it was going to be fine, but obviously that wasn't the case. And this is a sad case, sad situation here, and we'll see if something comes out of it besides just talk. Nowhere Man and a Whiskey Girl, sad story down here. Jim, we're going to wind it up with some legal developments in the lawsuit against the new campaign contribution limits. What's going on? And give us a little bit of background here. We got about a minute and a half.
Sure. The legislature this year dramatically increased contribution limits. They went from $450 a year up to $4,000 a year for candidates for the legislature and for city races and statewide. And the court this week ruled, basically put them on hold. The Clean Elections Commission, the publicly financed campaign system for the state, is suing and saying that essentially by raising the limits so high that it violates the will of the voters when they enact as clean elections. And the appellate court, at least temporarily, blocked the new law from going into effect. It had already been in place for about a month. People had been raising money under it, which kind of begs the question as to what's going to happen to all that money that they have raised. Are they going to return it? Are they going to be able to keep it? What is the court eventually going to do with this? This is, for the political chattering class up in Phoenix especially, I mean, this is really kind of the hot-button issue right now, is trying to figure out how much money people are going to be able to raise and how much money people are going to have to contribute to folks that they support.
Okay. And looking toward the legislative session, anything we should be kind of a heads up about? Anything big coming down the pike, or what do you see out there?
I think we'll really get a good sense as to what sort of big stuff is going to come down the pike once the governor starts to make a little bit of noise about what her agenda is going to be. And I'd expect we start hearing that towards the end of the year and beginning of January. I would expect this is going to be her legacy year. I would expect, and the economy's recovered, so look for her to call for increased spending in health care and in K-12 education and potentially even at the university system.
Okay, very good. And that's going to wind up our Friday Reporters Roundtable. I want to thank my guest, Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, and Jim Small, phoning in from Phoenix, Arizona Capital Times. We are going to be right back with Weekend Watch. We'll be right back.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hey, that music means it is almost time to start the weekend, and we're going to launch it with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. Weekend Watch is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Historic Silver City makes a great autumn getaway with a lot of places to stay. Check out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Hey, Matt, what is going on?
Oh, you know, Dan, I want to make sure that I understood you correctly. You said almost time for the weekend?
It is almost
time. Yeah. I mean, if it's after 12 noon, the weekend has officially begun here in Russellville. Let's just say that for the record.
Hey, I work on Saturday, so yeah, I get about a day, and it's Sunday.
My condolences.
Yeah, well, so you got a lot of good advice for us for this weekend. What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. You know, our beloved Arizona Wildcat football team is once again going to be taking the field at Arizona Stadium on Saturday night, and a huge pep rally is happening tonight at Main Gate Square to get everyone in the spirit. Now, this all starts at 5 o'clock on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid, and the U of A marching band is going to be there along with the Arizona Palm Squad and cheerleaders, and there's going to be lots of fun games and activities for the kids. Now, of course, some delicious food and drink specials at area restaurants are always going to be there, and, you know, I always follow my nose down to Main Gate Square. I love to go to a place called The Fix for an entire menu dedicated to mac and cheese. They call it Bear Down Friday at Main Gate Square today at 5 o'clock.
Wait, an entire menu dedicated to what?
There's 20 kinds of macaroni and cheese on the menu at The Fix. It's like a kid in a candy store for me.
Awesome. What else going on? Got a new restaurant, I guess.
Yeah, fans of the kind of food that fuels people from down under are celebrating the recent opening of Aussie Cantina down at 1118 East 6th Street. Now, owner Glenn Murphy recently relocated to Tucson from the land of plenty, and he's built a menu that includes all of the Australian staples from bangers and mash to fish and chips and something called a roux taco. I think I know what that means. All washed down with coldies and stubbies and terps. Now, I don't know what any of that means, but they have to be authentic if Glenn Murphy is behind them. Give Aussie Cantina a try this weekend for a culinary tour of Australia.
Hey, they're not allowed to cook kangaroos, are they? Come on, 1118 East 6th Street. Sounds great.
I might need to go down there and just do a little quality control mission.
Very good. You got one more here for us.
Yeah, you know, our good friends over at the Hacienda del Sol always know how to put on a great party, Dan. And this Sunday, it's all about the food and drinks of Argentina. It's the 9th annual Argentina Heart and Soul, and guests will enjoy some of the best wine and food, music, and tango this side of Buenos Aires. Things get started at about 4 o'clock on Sunday, and tickets are only $55 a person. So grab them today by calling 529-3500. Now, Dan, how's your tango these days?
You know what? We just don't have enough time to talk about that, but you can give us a tip on what's going to be in your column in Inside Tucson Business coming up. What are you going to be talking about?
You bet. Next week, it's the World Margarita Championship here in Tucson, and
nice.
I sat down with last year's winner to find out what he has up his sleeve this year to defend his title. So you think you know what a margarita is, Dan Shearer? Think again. Pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business and read all about it.
Hey, I told you I'm boring. I don't drink, but you know what? I like to watch.
You can live vicariously through me, Dan Shearer.
Thank you, Matt Russell.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Hey, if you'd like to learn more about Vail Incorporation, I got a couple of websites for you. IncorporateVail.com, that's by the Yes on 403 group, and VailIncorporationTruth.com. Those are by the people who are opposed to it. It was a great talk today with our two guests in the first half hour. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, and we thank them for that. Thanks to our terrific producer, Rose, to all of you for joining us today on the Buckmaster Show. Bill will be back on Monday. Until then, make it a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24-7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.